You can be seated. Go to 1 Chronicles 29. That's the page number there, if you're using the church Bibles, page 493. That's in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 29 is in the Old Testament. And we've got it on the screen there, 1 Chronicles 29. And so we're going to turn there. It's an incredible text that we're going to look at today and we're going to study. How many of you in here have ever had this happen? You've ever had somebody do something for you? You had somebody do something for you or give you something, and you could tell that they really didn't want to do it. How many of you ever had that happen? Raise your hand. Doesn't that make you feel good? Isn't that a warm and fuzzy feeling? It's like one of the worst feelings you could ever have, isn't it? You know, in my opinion. That's a terrible, terrible feeling. Well, likewise, we've learned that God's the same way. God's like us. I mean, we're made in His image, and some of those emotions we feel, God's the same way. And God, that's why the Bible says that God loves cheerful generosity. God loves to see a person who is generous for simply one reason, and that is that they love Him. They love Him. We saw last week the verse that said that's well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing. We have some generous people at Crossroads. I got to tell you, I am very proud of our church. Our church is incredible. Someone said this week, you know, man, we got some of the best people in the world at our church. I'm like, yeah, we do. I said, we have a lot of very, very kind, gracious, generous people that love the Lord. And it's really an honor for me to pastor such a wonderful group of people. You exhibit it over and over again, it seems like. And, you know, if we bring something up, it's like you guys, by and large, just you respond. And a great example of that was last week I mentioned about the bottle drive that we did, the baby bottles. And you guys filled those for Resources for Women, which is a local organization that helps ladies that are struggling, that are pregnant. And we filled the bottles up, and I told you how the director of that saw me at a coffee house, and, are you Pastor Dan? I said, yes, and she thanked me. Well, she actually sent a little video this week, a thank you video to our church. It's just a little 60-second video, but I thought it was really special. So I wanted to play that. If we could go ahead and cue that up, watch this video.
Hi, Crossroads Church. My name is Paula Sanchez. I am the Executive Director of Resources for Women. This video is to say thank you. Thank you for your love, your support, and your generosity towards this ministry. We were praying and asking God to send a church that would do a bottle drive for us. And you guys heard the call and answered. Your total amount that was collected through the bottle drive was $4,839.22. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord for that. That will allow us to continue serving the community and showing the love of God through free services like pregnancy tests, consultation time, free ultrasounds, parenting classes, mentorship programs, post-abortion recovery programs, and Bible study groups. Thank you for making this possible. Thank you for allowing us to show the love of God to our community. You guys are awesome. God bless you. Thank you for your generosity.
Isn't that awesome? So good. Last week, you know, I'm so proud of you guys. Last week, we said that generosity is the natural and normal response of a person that's in a close relationship with Jesus Christ. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at the heart of true generosity. If we could somehow open up the heart of a generous person, what would that look like? And we're going to go to an Old Testament story in 1 Chronicles 29 here to see this. And the story, just to give you the backdrop, is King David is the king of Israel. And the nation of Israel demonstrated some very radical generosity to make possible the building of a building, the Old Testament temple, which was the center of worship back then. And to me, the key verse in this chapter is verse 9. If you'll look at it with me, the key is verse 9. That's the key verse. All right, verse 9. It says, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. Because with perfect heart, they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Man, it says that their generosity proceeded from a perfect heart. What does that mean? Does that mean that they were supernatural? Does that mean these people were like head and shoulders above everybody else and that they were sinlessly perfect? No. I mean, if you know the nation of Israel, you know there were highs, but there were a lot of lows. I mean, these people were flawed just like the rest of us are flawed in ways. And it what that means when it says they gave with a perfect heart, it just means that their heart was right in this matter. As they generously gave to God, their heart was just completely right in it. And God noticed their heart, and God was just so touched by it. And there are some incredible lessons, I think, that we learn from this text. What is the heart of true generosity? If we were to break open the heart, like I said, of a generous person, what would we find? Let me share with you three things. Number one is this. The first thing we learn here in the Bible is that we would see a willing heart. Okay, a willing heart. A truly generous person has a willing heart. King David's heart was to build a house. He wanted to build a house. You say, what do you mean, build a house? He wanted to build a place where God's glory and God's presence would dwell among the children of Israel. He wanted a place where people could come and worship God. Now listen, up to this point, Israel had a tabernacle. And all that was like it was kind of basically like a big tent. And it was a tent that they could fold up and then it was portable. And so King David is like, man, he's like, now that we're in our land and we're settled, he's like, man, I want God to have a house. I want God to have something permanent. I want God, you know, God deserves the best. That was kind of David's attitude. And so while David, and by the way, today it's different. Today we're on this side of the cross. They were on the other side of the cross before Jesus died. Today there is not a building where God resides. Guess what? Here's the blessed truth of today. The moment you trust Jesus Christ, you become the temple of God's Spirit. God comes to live inside of us. God lives in His people today. Today, we're the house of God. Today, we are the temple of God. People, you know what? Even this building, I know sometimes, this is the house of God. Really, this building is not the house of God. You say, what is it? A building. It's a building, okay? This is where we have church, and that's awesome. But you know what? Today, God lives inside of His people. Aren't you thankful for that, church? Amen? But back in the Old Testament, it wasn't that way. God's glory would come into a place, a building. And so David wanted to see this temple built. King David never got to see this project completed. But he was instrumental in laying all the groundwork and being able to raise the funds for it. It's pretty cool. And David, what he basically does, nothing fancy about it, David just stands up before the people, shares his heart, shares his vision, shares the need with the people, and then he asks them to respond. In verse 5, look at the end of verse 5. He said, "Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" David is like, hey, who's going to step up? Who's going to help? You know, who's going to make this thing happen? And then all of a sudden, people started stepping up, man. He did what I did about a year and a half ago. Remember when I laid out our 3-year vision? I'm like, these are the goals. This is what I want to see God do. And we shared the connections bill. We shared outreach project. We shared some stuff on church planning. We shared some things about missions and reaching unreached people groups that have no Bible at all. In a couple of weeks, we're going to share with you how we're going to implement that part of our vision of reaching unreached people groups. And man, I'm so excited. I can't wait for that Sunday to come. But we laid out the vision and we're like, here it is. You know, how many of you will step up? How many of you will help with this? And of course, so many of you have, and it's such a blessing to see what God's done. In fact, that screen, we'll bring it up. Those are the blessings. Remember last week I shared all those? We just kind of laid it out. Here's what we need. Here's what we need to see God do. If we're going to reach our community, here's what we got to do. And so many of you stepped up and have done a fabulous job with that. Look at verse 6. I want you to go there with me. Verse number 6. All right, here's the key. It says, "Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered," and what is the last word there? they offered willingly. Now, tuck that word away. All right? Right there. Got it? All right. Look at verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered what?
Willingly.
Because with perfect heart they offered willing. I think God's trying to make a point. What do you think, huh? And again, verse 14. Who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Verse 17, again, in the uprightness of my heart, I've willingly offered all these things. Now, you think about that word willingly. You know what that means? It means voluntarily, eagerly. When you have your kids clean their room, do they do it willingly? Just asking. That means voluntarily, eagerly. The idea is that nobody's got to twist our arm. Nobody has to coerce us to be generous. In your handout, it says that we're generous because we love the Lord, we love His work, and we want to be generous, it says. We want to be generous. It's like, I know what some of you are going to do, right? I mean, all I got to do is say it, and you guys are like all over it. I mentioned the thing about the candy maze. Next Sunday, I guarantee you some of you are going to come in with bags of candy, right? Some of you will have a bag or two. That's awesome. Some of you have 5 bags. We got people in our church that look for sales. They'll probably bring in 10 or 15 bags. And that it's crazy, but that's the idea of the word. Willingly is that we want to do it. When it says in verse 9 that they gave with a perfect heart, you know what that means? Perfect carries the idea of completeness. Their heart wasn't divided in the matter. It wasn't like they were torn. Should I or shouldn't I do this? It wasn't a reluctant generosity. Ladies, on your wedding day, when you get married, right? When you were married, ladies, those of you ladies who are married, if you were putting on your wedding dress and you were getting all ready and all of a sudden one of your people in the wedding comes back and says, hey, I just talked to your fiance and he's still trying to figure out whether or not he should go through with this today or not. And, you know, he's kind of iffy on this. He just doesn't know for sure if he ought to do this or not. That might ruin your wedding day, amen? That might ruin it a little bit for you, right? You don't want to see reluctance. To grudgingly be generous is to do it with sadness and grief and sorrow. You ever had somebody buy you a present because they felt like they had to? How do you think God feels when He looks into our heart and He sees that attitude? See, God wants us to be generous in our everyday lives. He wants us to live open-handed and be generous. Why? He wants us to do it willingly. That's what makes it special, is when we do it willingly, voluntarily, eagerly. Let me give you the second thing. Number two, if we were to open up the heart of a generous person, the second thing we would see is a joyful heart. Let's bring that up on the screen. Number two is a joyful heart. Why would a generous person be joyful? Let me share this with you. One of the byproducts of willingly being generous is that we truly rejoice in our generosity. It's so true. It's a joy. It's fun. I know some of the funnest times Denise and I have ever had is being generous. Why? Because, you know, you buy stuff, and that's great. It makes you happy for a little bit. But, of course, it gets old. Then the technology isn't good anymore. You get a new phone, but then people laugh at it 5 years later, right? About a year later now, they laugh at your phone. Oh, you got one of those. You know, and you thought it was really cool when you bought it. It was cool, you know. It's like you buy stuff and it gets old and it just wears out. It's not cool anymore. It's not in style anymore. But when you're generous, it's like those are memories you never forget. And it's like you just, they stick with you. And you also, of course, have the blessing of being able to see in eternity what your generosity is going to produce. And so the biggest blast we've ever had in our life is being able to be generous with the Lord and generous with people and family. It's so exciting, you know. And have you ever done something nice for somebody? Think about this. Have you ever done something nice for somebody? Well, have you? No, I'm just kidding, right? Have you ever done something nice for somebody? Everybody's just looking. And it wasn't Christmas, and it wasn't their birthday, and it wasn't a special occasion. You just did it because you wanted to do it. Let me ask you something. How did that make you feel? Makes you feel great. Makes you feel great. Is Clayton in here? Clayton, are you in here? Clayton is my son that was playing the guitar up here. And Clayton, it was a few weeks ago, he knew I had been wanting a MEV leather Bible, which the MEV is an updated King James. We use it a lot, you know, in church here, you know. And he knew I had been wanting one of those. And so all of a sudden a package comes in the mail. Denise is like, did you order something? I'm like, no. Did you order something? No. So I open it up. It's a leather MEV Bible. And I'm like, where'd this come from? Whose is this? Clayton comes out of the room and says, I got that for you, Dad. I said, son, my birthday's coming up. I said, you should have waited till my birthday. He goes, nah, I wanted to do it now because I knew you wanted it. But I'm like, it's not Father's Day. It's not my birthday. It's not Christmas. And you know what? I was beaming, but he was beaming too. Because it is so much fun. I feel sorry for people who do not regularly get to experience the joys of generosity, who just kind of like keep everything close and keep, you know, live kind of a life just for themselves and what they want. It's just, there's so much joy in generosity. In fact, look at verse number 9. Look at that verse again. Verse number 9. It says, then the people, what's the next word? Rejoiced. For they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also, what? Rejoiced. But what did he rejoice with? Great joy. Have you ever wondered why God says he loves a cheerful giver? It's because there's no way to have cheerful generosity unless you do it willingly. I mean, if somebody's twisting your arm, that's not too much fun, is it? Well, is it? I mean, if y'all like it, I could do it. Who wants their arm twisted, huh? Yeah, I don't like my arm twisted. I don't like my ear, my nose twisted. Do you? I don't like it. I don't like anything twisted. Well, you know, it's no fun to have your arm twisted. So that willingness and that desire to be generous, that's what God loves to see. It just thrills the heart of God to see that in his kids. I mean, don't we love to see that in our kids? I mean, don't we love it? Don't you love it when you say to your kid, hey, now I want you to take one of them cookies and I want you to share that with your little sister. And then your little boy goes, and you go, oh, look at that. Can I have one of those? And they go, you give them a peanut butter jelly sandwich, they got it all over their face, all over their hands, and come up to you and go. And you're like, oh. We love that. We love to see generosity in our kids, don't we? I mean, nobody looks at their kid and says, hey, I want you to share one of those with your sister. And then the kid goes, no, mine. And we go, isn't that cute? He's being greedy. And that's so cute. He's being stingy. That's so cute. We don't do that, right? It's kind of repulsive to us. We don't like that. Well, how do you think God feels? You think God looks down from heaven and goes, my kid's being stingy. That's so cute. No, God doesn't think it's cute either. See, but God smiles and loves it when he sees his kids being generous. It brings joy to everybody involved. It brings joy to the person who's being generous. It brings joy to the person you're being generous with. It brings joy to God. I mean, just joy all the way around. In fact, look in your handout. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 2. Look at that verse in your handout. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, notice that, who for the joy, underline that word joy, or circle it, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Think about that. Listen, guys, the pain was not fun. You look at those spikes right there. It's no fun to have spikes driven through your hands and your feet. It's no fun to have a big old crown of thorns with big old crowns that big crushed down into your head. That's not fun. But yet the Bible says that there was joy in Christ. Why? Because he knew the impact that his giving would produce, and that brought joy to him. Generosity always costs you something. It just does. Generosity costs you something. He endured the cross, but the end result is joy. Christ's generosity produced great joy, and it always does when it's done with a right heart. Some of you were watching that video of that lady from Resources for Women. Some of you stuffed a baby bottle, and you were beaming. If not outwardly, you were beaming inside. As you watched that total come on the screen, and you watched that lady so thankful, you were beaming because you're like, I had a part in that. Generosity brings joy. The third thing is this, lastly is this, is that when you look into the heart of a generous person, the third thing you'll see is a thankful heart. Generous people are thankful people. There's some key foundational principles that we can derive from these verses that I'm telling you, if you'll get this, listen to me, if you will get this right here, what I'm going to share with you, you will be leaps and bounds ahead of the average Christian. If you can get a hold of these principles I'm going to share with you, it will revolutionize your life, okay? I'm telling you, you grab a hold of this stuff I'm about to share with you, it will change your perspective, your way of thinking, the way you view life. It'll change your worldview. It'll change the way you view all your stuff. It will change everything. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put a verse on the screen from this text. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to give you the principle we learn. All right, let's bring it up. Let's do the first one. Look at this. It says here, this is right from our text. David said, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty for everything. Say that word with me. For
everything.
In the heavens and the earth is
yours.
Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head above all. Get this in your handout. You ready? First principle, life-changing. Ready? Everything in heaven and earth belongs to God. Now, if he created it all and if he owns it all, then who owns your house ultimately? Who owns your car? Who owns your clothes? Who owns the seat you're in right now? Who owns this building? He owns it all. You just read it. We saw it. Everything in heaven and everything in earth, the Bible says, is yours. Are y'all with me? All right, let's go to up on the screen. Verse 12 says, riches and honor, say it with me, flow from you. And you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to strengthen all. So in your handout, here's the principle we get from that. You ready? Therefore, everything I possess comes from God. Everything I possess comes from God. He is the source. What did we read? Can we go back to that verse right before that? What did we read a second ago in that verse? Can we just go back one slide? Is that possible? There we go. Riches and honor, what? Flow from you. So that means everything that I have came from God. Let me give you the third thing. Let's bring it up on the screen, verse 14. David said, who am I and who are my people? In other words, he's overwhelmed. Who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to offer so freely as this? And then he says, for everything comes from you. Even from your own hand, we have given to you. Wow. In your handout, here's the principle. Everything I give was God's in the first place. Everything I give was God's in the first place. So what should be my response to all this? Look in your Bible now. Go to your Bible and look at verse 13. It says, now therefore, our God, we what? We thank you and praise your glorious name. All right, so write this in. What's my response to all these truths? Thankfulness that God has allowed me to use that which he created and belongs to him. If I'm thankful, how many of you in here don't answer out loud? It's rhetorical. How many of you in here believe that you are a thankful person? Don't answer out loud. Ask yourself, am I a thankful person? If I'm thankful, what does that look like? Well, look at verse, let's bring it up on the screen, verse 16. Here's what it looks like. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared, in other words, all these offerings that they've offered up for the building of the temple, all this abundance we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name has come from your hand, and all belongs to you. What does it look like if I'm thankful? Here it is. You ready? In your handout, it says, my thankfulness produces a desire to be generous. So the idea is that one of the reasons I'm so generous with God is because I realize that without him, I wouldn't have anything anyway. Without God, I wouldn't have a dollar to my name. So generosity towards God is done thankfully and humbly because we realize everything that we have comes from God. It's like last week. Denise sent me to Publix to get like milk or something or bread. And whenever she sends me to Publix to get one item, I come back with six items because I don't normally go in the store. So when I go in, I see things like buy one, get one free, Reese's Pieces, big old bags. I grab two bags. Buy one, get one free potato chips. I grab them. You know, I mean, anything unhealthy and I'm grabbing it, you know. So I'm grabbing this stuff. Well, I thought the grandkids are at the house, 4 and 2 years old. And I said, they'll love these Reese's Pieces. Truth is, I love Reese's Pieces, but I wanted to be generous, right? So I grab these Reese's Pieces and I go home. What if I were to give Landon, my 4-year-old, that big old bag of Reese's, which I did, okay? We were finding Reese's Pieces for a week after they left around the house. But let's say I give him a bag of Reese's Pieces, which I did, the big giant ones, and then I say to him, hey, Landon, can Papaw have some of them Reese's Pieces? And he looks at me and he acts real resentful. And he looks in his bag and he grudgingly pulls out one little Reese's Pieces and gives it to me. Now, he didn't do that, all right? But let's say he did that. That would be an insult. He should give willingly and thankfully because he recognizes that every Reese's Pieces he has is because Papaw gave it to him. So he should be like, yeah, take all you want. I wouldn't have any Reese's Pieces without you, right? Well, that's how we should be. Hey, our attitude ought to be, God, here, I want to be generous because every Reese's Pieces I have came from you. All my Reese's Pieces came from you, God, so here, I want to give back. In your handout, 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18, look at it. He says, command those who are rich in this world. And that's all of us that live in America. I know you may not think you're rich, but according to the world standards, those in America are. Command those who are rich in this world that they be not conceited nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who richly gives us all things to enjoy. How do we respond to that? Command that they do good. This is what he says you're supposed to do if you've been blessed. Do good. That they be rich in good works. What's the next word? Generous and then willing to what? Willing to share. So the idea is we recognize that God is the source of everything I possess. Who owns everything I have? God. So instinctively, that creates a desire in me to want to be generous. Do I have to be? No. You hear a lot of preachers preaching it that way, and it's not true. God will not make you be generous. You can take every red cent you have, and you can hoard it, You can keep it all for yourself. You can spend it all on yourself. And God is a gentleman, and God is not going to take it from you. He's not. You can take everything you have and spend it all on you. God's not going to make you be generous. The idea is that I want to be generous. I want to share. You see, in your handout, it says that generosity really is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And if you look down at verse 20, last verse, okay, I'm done. Look at verse 20. It says, and David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God, and all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers. And look at this, and bow down their heads, and what? They worshiped. In your handout, it says that when our heart is right, really our generosity becomes an act of worship. We're worshiping God this way, and it brings such joy to our hearts. So I would just encourage you, like I said last week, some of us I know maybe struggle with this. It's like every other area. Some of you struggle with faith. Some of you struggle with fear. Some of you struggle with doubt. Some of you in here maybe struggle with your tongue, you know. Some of you struggle in this area or that area. Some people struggle with being stingy and just being very tight-fisted. And what I would encourage you to do is pray about it, recognize it, and just ask God to help you to start taking steps forward towards being a generous person. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Ushers, if you'll come.